I'm Natalie Tomlinson. I'm a historian at the University of Reading, and I'm a historian of feminism and gender in modern Britain. My current research is a big project on women's experiences during the miners' strike and about their lives in post-war Britain more generally. So there are many different ways in which schools reflect changing attitudes towards gender and class in post-war Britain. So one of the most obvious things is for girls, often in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, we see that division between girls doing cooking, boys doing woodwork and metalwork at school, those sorts of different subjects for girls and boys, that tends to break down by the late 80s, early 90s, so that everyone's doing the same subjects. We see girls often not being offered the opportunity to do science subjects at all in the 50s and 60s. Again, that changes later on in the century. And by the 1990s, we see girls overtake boys in terms of their A-level results and entrance into university. And we might want to think about that in terms of that shift towards women working out in the paid labour market much more than they used to. In terms of class, we also see a lot of shifts. So the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, we had the grammar school system, and maybe that's predicated on the idea of giving a few working class children a ladder out, so to speak, some opportunities. So, and I would say in that shift towards the comprehensive system, what we're seeing is this idea from giving just a few people opportunity to the principle that everyone should enjoy a good academic education. I think we also should emphasise, however, that there are some continuities. We can see that girls from working class backgrounds throughout this period do much worse than boys from working class backgrounds and girls from middle class backgrounds in terms of their exam results and attainment and their chances of going to university. So we can say the ways in which gender and class still work in some ways to constrain girls' opportunities throughout post-war Britain. So some of the really major differences that we see are just simple things like girls always doing cooking, boys doing woodwork. So we have like different subjects that girls and boys are doing at school. We can see that maybe the idea of girls doing cooking is to prepare them to be housewives and mothers. We know that girls often didn't have the opportunity to do science subjects at all at school in the 1950s and 1960s. For various reasons, these were often seen to be subjects that were more appropriate for preparing boys for the world of work and that they wouldn't be of interest to girls. So those are some really key differences, simply just in terms of the subjects that girls and boys would study at school. I think more broadly, we might want to think about something called the hidden curriculum. So what do we mean by this? Well, that's the idea that through sort of everyday interactions at school and with teachers, these subtle ideas that girls should be housewives and mothers and boys should be breadwinners and going out to work are reinforced every day through the expectations of teachers in the classroom as well. And I would say that right until the 1980s, we can see a sort of broad cultural idea that women's main role was to be housewives and mothers when they grow up. I think we can see that still being talked about in the classroom for quite a long time, actually, in post-war Britain. There's all sorts of different sources that we can use as historians. So we might want to look at official reports, for example, written by the Department for Education. There is quite a few official sources that specifically talk about the different ways in which boys and girls can be educated. We can look at the resources that teachers themselves created for their classrooms and the resources of things like the National Union of Teachers, the big teaching union. So those archival records are available for us to look at. I would say that as a historian, I'm particularly interested in hearing about the everyday experiences of people and of pupils in the classroom. So I, as a historian, use a lot of oral history. So I literally just go out and talk to people and I ask them to tell me about their lives and their experiences. So that's a really good way in which we can literally just get to hear about what it was like to be a pupil at school in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. I like to hear it from the horse's mouth. So what we see here are two photos from two different secondary modern schools in Sheffield from the 1960s. And in both of these photos, we can see a sort of mocked-up kitchen, sitting room, flat situation where we can see what I think are presumably girl students at the school learning how to prepare tea and how to serve it. Both of these photos come from the official opening brochures of both schools. So both of these schools were brand spanking new, and as part of these new school buildings, these, you know, lovely flats were built for them, presumably to try and attract the girls of the local area to go to those schools. And what we can also gather from the fact that we have these photos in the first place is the sort of emphasis that we can see on the domestic training of young girls, right? So most people go to a secondary modern school. Majority, not all, but many were from working class backgrounds. It wasn't assumed that these women would have professional careers. The idea was that they would probably become wives and mothers. So we can see here how the school is training those young girls up into becoming housewives when they grow up. I think it's also important to say to us in the 21st century, that might seem very sexist, but it might not have appeared that way to girls at the time. Being a housewife was often quite an aspirational identity in the 1960s. And indeed, I was talking to my own mum, who is from Sheffield, about these photos. And she remembered going to visit her secondary modern school. It wasn't one of the ones in the photos. It was the one next door, actually, in the 1960s. And she was super excited by the prospect of these housecraft flats. And she was joking to me that she was the only person gutted to pass her 11 plus, because it meant she had to go to the boring grammar school instead. But she had really wanted to go to this lovely modern school and learn how to be a housewife. So the interview that you're about to hear is from a big research project that I've done with a couple of other historians, which is examining the lives of women from coalfield communities across Britain in the post-war era. So we did about 100 interviews. And a lot of these interviews were 3 or 4 hours long. The one that you're about to listen to was about 6 hours long. And we asked these women to tell us all about their lives. And as part of that, we asked them to tell us all about their experiences at school. This clip was from a woman called Shalan Holden, who I interviewed for my research. Shalan attended secondary school, a comprehensive school called Minsor, which is in South Elmsall in West Yorkshire, and she went there in the early 1980s. And in this clip, she was talking about quite traditional expectations of girls at her school. It was the idea very much that they would grow up to be wives and mothers, often the wives of minors, perhaps. And she talks about that really strict segregation that you saw between boys and girls in terms of woodwork, and in terms of girls doing cooking instead. It's quite interesting that that sort of segregation still existed into the 1980s. Even though we see a big feminist movement in Britain in the 1970s, a lot of those quite traditional ideas about what subjects were suitable for girls and what subjects were suitable for boys persisted for quite a long time. So that's, I think, a really key point to take from this clip, the persistence of those traditional attitudes towards gender. What's also quite important though to take from this clip is the way that Shalan kicked back against them. So she talks also about sport in this clip and about how she was always asking to play football and wondering why she wasn't allowed to play football and simply being told that she just couldn't, it was because she was a girl. She also talks about the ways in which she would try and kick against things like sewing and cooking, which she perceived herself to be no good at. She was trying to join the metalwork class at school. She was trying to sort of kick against some of those conventions around gender. In this clip, Shalan remembers some of her teachers at school in the early 1980s. It's interesting here that despite the fact that Shalan perceived her school to be quite traditional in terms of its expectations of girls, she also says that she nevertheless encountered some young teachers who had quite different expectations for them, who had maybe a more radical political outlook, and who would explicitly bring up the subject of feminism in various lessons. Shalan found this a really important moment for her. This was the point where she was introduced to ideas about women's equality. And she talks about the way that her and her friend Teresa would often bring these issues up in the classroom if they had other teachers who they felt were being sexist towards them, or if they were discussing issues sort of to do with, you know, real life, the everyday world, in which they thought that women were sort of getting a raw deal. So we can see that although in some ways we see a real strand of traditionalism within this comprehensive school in the 1980s, we also see at the same time a more and wider version or a perhaps more egalitarian vision of women's futures and lives. What we can conclude from these sources is quite complicated, I would say. We can say on the one hand that they point to the traditionalism around expectations for girls and women in post-war Britain. How overwhelming that expectation that young women, and particularly young women from working class backgrounds, would become housewives and mothers. We can see just how entrenched in everyday society that expectation was. On the other hand, I think we can particularly tell from Shilan's clip that ideas around women's place were beginning to subtly change by the 1980s, that different ideas about what women could do were beginning to come into play. I think we also might want to think about the popularity of some of these ideas and how it might point to the fact that for many women, the idea of becoming a housewife was not necessarily a bad thing, right? It was something that was seen as quite an aspirational thing. The idea that you could, you know, take care of your husband and your children, create a nice life for them, have a nice domestic setup, was often seen as something to really aspire for in the future. So it might have quite a different meaning for people in the 1960s than it does today.